All right, the book of Malachi, chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. Let's stand together that we might honor the reading of God's word. We invite you watching in from home to stand where you are and worship as we read the Word of God. Malachi chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And now this commandment is for you, O priests. If you do not listen, and if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. And indeed, I have cursed them already, because you are not taking it to heart. Behold, I am going to rebuke your offspring, and I will spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your feasts, and you will be taken away with it. Then you will know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant may continue with Levi, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace. And I gave them to him as an object of reverence. So he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many back from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But as for you, you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by the instruction and have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. So I also have made you despised and abased before all the people. Just as you are not keeping my ways, but are showing partiality in the instruction. Lord, tonight, as we gather here, we do not gather as Levitical priests, but we do gather as believer priests. And so there are those things from this passage that apply to us tonight as well. Help us to see those things and to honor and revere you as you have instructed. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've missed 3 Sunday nights in the book of Malachi. And so it's good for us to get back into it. Let's Remember, in chapter 1, beginning at verse 6, we were dealing with the unacceptable worship being led and conducted by the priests. In verses 6 and 7, in fact, let's look back and read those and be refreshed in them. Chapter 1, verse 6, a son honors his father and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my respect? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? You are presenting defiled food upon my altar. But you say, how have we defiled you? In that you say, the table of the Lord is despised. That is unacceptable worship to the Lord. From chapter 1, verse 7 through verse 14, then we have seen the Lord's indictment of unacceptable worship. And you can read there about the things that they were doing. Outward keeping of the feasts, the offerings, and yet inwardly their hearts were not right and were not giving worship to God, even though they were going through the outward activities. And they were taking, the priests were taking some of the best of the flocks that were being brought by the people, keeping those for themselves and substituting those of the flocks that were blemished and sick. That was not only a violation of the law itself, that was actually thievery on their part. But as the Lord says, it is a despising of the table of the Lord. It's a despising of those offerings because the honor that was due the Lord, namely the first fruits, the best of the flocks, was not being given and offered to the Lord, but cheap substitutes were being offered. So there is a lesson in that concerning worship, that our worship is worship from the heart. And it is worship that is true and honoring to the Lord. We might say giving of our best, our first fruits to the Lord. That's true in what we do all throughout a worship service, but it's also why I comment from time to time that the offering may in fact be the most worshipful thing you do in a worship service. And so think about your motivations and attitudes when you give. Now, when we come to chapter 2, the first 7 verses deal with the corrupted vocation of the priests. The priests had corrupted all that they were to be doing. They certainly had corrupted the sacrifices and offerings, hadn't they? But more than that, the first 3 verses of chapter 2 give a warning to the priests of what will happen to them and their families if they do not change. This command, chapter 2, verse 1, is for you, O priests. That's very clear, isn't it? Very direct. It's for the priests. Verse 2, if you do not listen and you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, and that is conditional, so it implies there is an opportunity for the priests to listen and take it to heart and give honor to the Lord. Now, they hadn't been, had they? But the Lord says, now do that. If you don't do that, the rest of verse 2, I will send the curse upon you. Notice the definite article, the, before the word curse. I will send the curse upon you. Now, there are many places that we could look throughout the earlier parts of the Old Testament. But you might recall Deuteronomy chapter 28. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, the Lord set before Israel blessings, a whole list of them, and curses, a whole list of them. He said to them, choose life. Choose that which brings blessing. But there were curses. It's a specific curse. That is what Malachi has in mind here in verse 2 when he says that the Lord indicates, I will send the curse upon you. And not only that, the Lord says in verse 2, I will curse your blessings. Did you give thanks for some blessings this last week? Do you recall that you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ? Now, just imagine if all of your blessings as a believer were turned into curses? Would that be serious? Yeah. The benefits, the enjoyment of life that you have would be turned into curses. They would no longer be benefits, they would be impediments to you. They would no longer help you and encourage you. They would hurt you and judge you. That is a strong and a sad statement, isn't it? I will curse your blessings. And notice the end of verse 2. The Lord says, I have cursed them already because you're not taking it to heart. Wow. The priests who were to be spiritual leaders in Israel were experiencing the curse of God. That's sad, isn't it? Very sad. Now, verse 3, what does that look like? I'm going to rebuke your offspring. Literally, it's the word for seed. I'll rebuke your offspring. That may and likely does refer to the children, especially the sons of the priests, who would have become priests themselves of the tribe of Levi. But the Lord says, I'm going to rebuke them. The word seed or offspring could also refer to all of the crops and herds and benefits of the nation, so that everybody will suffer because of the sins of the priests. The next statement is not one that you like. I will spread refuse on your faces. Anybody like that statement? I will spread refuse on your faces. And he defines what that refuse is. It's the refuse of your feasts. You say, these feasts, these offerings are not worthwhile. Okay, you know what I'm going to do? This is what the Lord says. I'm going to take all of that and mash it in your face. Yeah. And you will be taken away with it. That is the future of these priests is just about over, isn't it? So that is the warning. Now, a question could and probably should come to mind. Did these priests heed the warning? They were commanded to. Did they? Let me ask this. Remember, this is the last book of your Old Testament. How were the Jewish priests doing 400 years later at the time of Jesus? Had they changed? Had they heeded the warning? Now, during that 400 years, there were some who did. And there were a few priests, even at the time of Jesus, who were honoring the Lord and worshiping as they should. But most of them were not. Do you remember during the life of Jesus what was called the Bazaar of Annas, the high priest, where they turned even things like Passover into a bazaar, where they could sell animals for sacrifice, and they turned it into a money-making scheme in order to bilk people out of their money, and they called it worship. See, this is what you need for Passover. Had they changed in 400 years? Many of them had not, had they? It got worse and worse and worse. So they were given opportunity to change. Maybe some did during those 400 years, but many did not. Now, beginning at verse 4, we see what the Lord says about the true purposes of the priesthood. And they were corrupting those true purposes. One of the true purposes of the priesthood, verses 4 and 5, was that Israel's covenant of life and peace would continue to be enjoyed. This was the responsibility given to Levi and Levi's descendants who served as priests. Verse 4, that my covenant may continue. The priests were to make sure that the covenant was being honored. They were to teach it. Verse 5, it's referred to as a covenant of life and peace. And Levi And many of his early descendants, though we know there were those who violated it all throughout Old Testament history. But Levi did this. Verse 5 says he revered and stood in awe of the name of the Lord. This would be a good time to remind you, throughout chapter 1 and into chapter 2, you saw it in verse 2 of chapter 2, the Lord refers to himself as the Lord of hosts. That is a reminder that in Israel's worship and in our worship as well, angels are participants and observers of our worship. He is the Lord of hosts. And so Levi was to make sure that the covenant continued, that it would be a covenant of life and peace. Now that phrase in verse 5, a covenant of life and peace, reminds us of one of the sons of Levi. His name was Phinehas. You can see this in the book of Numbers, chapter 25. And Phinehas was still around in the book of Joshua. Phinehas, remember what happened in Numbers chapter 25? There were pagan women actually, Baal prostitutes. And the sons of Israel were hooking up with those pagan women in violation of God's law. In Numbers chapter 25, a man actually took one of those women at the very threshold of the tabernacle. As a result, God said that he would bring about great death and judgment upon the people. But Phinehas, the priest, said, this has to stop. And Phinehas intervened and he killed that man and the woman. And Phinehas averted the plague, which did kill a number of people. But Phinehas halted it. And because of that, God said to Phinehas, I will make with you and your descendants a covenant of life and peace. You can read it in Numbers chapter 25, verses 10 through 13. A covenant of life and peace so that the priesthood of Levi would continue and the honoring of God's covenant would continue. That, the Lord says here in verses 4 and 5, is one of the true purposes of the priesthood, is to make sure that the covenant continues and that the priesthood of Levi continues. A second purpose we see at the end of verse 6 is turning the people back from iniquity. Levi and his descendants did that. He turned many back from iniquity. Priests didn't just stand around and people brought animals and they helped make sacrifices and all of that. Priests had spiritual leadership responsibility for the people of Israel to make sure that if the people of Israel were sinning, that they would stop, that they would turn back and honor the Lord. And that also is a purpose of the priesthood. The third purpose in the rest of verse 6 and into verse 7 was, and you don't often think of this with priests, but it's true, we see it here, the true instruction of the Word of God. In fact, we won't look at it tonight, but Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 10 indicates that a principal function of the Levites was to teach the people the Word of God, what God said. Look at verse 6. True instruction was in his mouth. Unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness. Levi and the priests following him had true instruction from God in their mouths. Verse 7, the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge. That's the purpose of the priesthood, to preserve knowledge, especially the knowledge of God. Preserve knowledge. And men, still in verse 7, should seek instruction from his mouth. If you're not sure what God is saying, if you're not sure what something in the Word of God is saying, is teaching, what it means, whom should you ask? And the answer was, a priest. Now, I've heard numbers of sermons preached where this purpose of the priests is applied to pastors, pastor teachers in our day. And that's good. That's fine. It is the responsibility of a pastor teacher, to give true instruction, to preserve knowledge, to give instruction from his mouth. The end of verse 7 says, he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. That's true. But do you know that in this church age, every believer is a priest? So, the application of this text is for all of us tonight, not just the pastor, not just the one in a position of teaching, but every believer should have true instruction in his mouth. Every believer should be talking about the things of the Word of God. Every believer should be preserving knowledge, and people should be able to come to any believer to seek instruction from his mouth, because in this church age, every believer is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. Say that one about yourself tonight. I am a messenger of the Lord of hosts. We won't get into it in detail tonight. We will when we get into chapter 3, but the word messenger and the word Malachi, the author of the book, are related. Remember, Malachi's name means my messenger. And so a form of that appears in the statement, he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. That is to say, all of these Levitical priests should have been Malachi's. They weren't, were they? They weren't doing very well. And it is to say, every believer in this age should be a Malachi, a messenger of the Lord of hosts. So these are the purposes of the priesthood: to preserve the covenant of life and peace, to turn people back from sin, and to give the true instruction of the Word. Now, how were these guys doing? They were corrupting all of it. They were not only corrupting the feasts and the sacrifices, they were corrupting the covenant. They were corrupting their purpose of turning people from sin, because in fact they were instigating sin. And they were not giving the true instruction of the Word of God. So verses 8 and 9, we see the covenant violation of the priests. The priests violated, notice it in verse 8, "You have caused many to stumble by the instruction." Notice the definite article again in front of the word instruction. You see it in verse 9 as well. "Are showing partiality in the instruction." Now, when the definite article appears in front of a word like instruction or teaching, we saw this in Psalm 119. When the definite article appears there, the reference is actually to the Torah. The first five books of the Old Testament. The Torah instruction. What were these priests doing? They were misteaching, misapplying, and themselves misusing the teaching of God in the Torah. They, it says, caused many to stumble by the instruction. They taught the Torah in a way that caused people to stumble and move away from the Lord instead of turning to the Lord. Did these priests preserve the covenant of life and peace? No, they corrupted it. Verse 9, "You have corrupted the covenant of Levi." Who's corrupted it? You know, the priests want to say, "Oh, no, the people did that." No, the Lord says to the priests, "You did it. You've corrupted the covenant." As a result, verse 9, "I have made you despised and abased before all the people." What did the average Jewish person think of these priests? They were despised. That is, the people hated them. And they were abased. That means to be lowered in estimation. The people didn't respect the priests. The priests held a low position. They had a poor reputation among the people. Why? Because the priests, who had the responsibility to turn people from sin, were leading people into sin. The priests who had the responsibility to preserve the covenant were violating the covenant. The priests that had the responsibility to give the true instruction of the word were taking the Torah, the word of God, and misteaching it. So verse 9 says, just as you are not keeping my ways. They were showing partiality in the instruction, which, by the way, Jewish leaders were doing by the time of Jesus. And remember, even in the book of James, it tells us not to show partiality. These priests were giving honor and pronouncing blessing over rich people. If you had more money, you had more influence, you got preferential treatment from the priests. Why? They were all on the take. That's why. And the rest of the people were being hurt and harmed. So they despised and they abased the priests. That's sad. These were men whom God had placed in positions of respect. But they were hated and they were considered of poor reputation by the people. May as we carry out our witness from day to day, may our witness be one where even if people don't agree with you, they still nonetheless respect you and they have love and appreciation for you as one who is a messenger of the Lord, representing the things of God. Heavenly Father, tonight, as you apply this word to us, nonetheless, we are sad at what we read, for the priests as spiritual leaders had corrupted your very covenant, and you turned their blessings into curses and rebuked their offspring. Lord, how Israel hurt and suffered. And Israel, yet tonight, as we pray for Israel, still has those, while there are those who are at least beginning to look in the right direction, yet there are still those who are corrupting the covenant between you and Israel. Lord, now go before us in this week to come. give us great opportunities to be your messengers. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.